Welcome to the You Can Man Podcast, episode 99. I'm your host, Tim, and on this week's show, Riding Lawnmower Overhaul. All right, guys, welcome back. This week, we've got a special guest in the studio that was actually on the show previously, way back on episode 53, my good friend Brandon. And that show was Small Engine Repair Basics and was actually our most listened to show ever, which is crazy because I kind of got Brandon in here like last minute. I was during, I think, like the start of COVID, and like Dave and Josh couldn't join me that time or something. And so Brandon had to come in and fill in. So he was like, I've never done this before, but sure, I know a lot about small engines, so I'll come do that. And it was just funny because it ended up being our like most listened to episode. And we really didn't get into a whole lot. We just basically talked about how it's always the carburetor that's the problem, I think. But anyways, Brandon, go ahead and say hello.
Hi.
So Brandon is a lifelong friend of mine. And when I say lifelong, I really mean lifelong. Like, I literally do not remember a time that I have not known him. We have been friends since infancy. He lived down the street from me growing up. And we have remained best friends ever since. And so I'm really happy to have Brandon on the show with us today. Now, how many riding mowers have you resurrected over the years, Brandon?
Oh, I'd say probably 8 or 9.
I would say that's probably accurate. So Brandon is that guy that you, if you've got a broken mower or small engine or something, you're like, who do I know? Oh, right, Brandon. So you go over to his house, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, okay? There's got to be at least 10 small engines laying around somewhere in the vicinity of his area. What are you saying, more?
No.
No, not quite that.
Way less than that.
Okay, right. I think your wife would say otherwise. But you've at least got 3 riding mowers currently, I think. Last I was at your house, I think you had like 3 riding mowers that you were currently working on, or maybe 4, including the one that you actually cut your own grass with. I don't know what you got now.
There's 4.
Okay, there's 4. Anyhow, Brandon has a ton of experience with riding mowers and bringing them back to life. I had a John Deere mower that I beat the crap out of. And look, guys, what I did to this thing is just awful. Like, the stuff that I would mow, like, I would take it down. My family has some land, and I will usually take it down. There's a small grassy area that I would cut, and I hadn't cut it for a long time, and it got, like, really high. This was something you needed a bush hog for, and I took this John Deere down there and just ran it through these courses. I'm really surprised that it lasted as long as it did, but it got to a point where I had a bent push rod. I replaced that, and so I did get it back up and running. But then I also had to do a deck rebuild, and we're going to talk about these things coming up here. I don't remember what the last thing was that happened to it, but I was like, I think it's done. I've got to retire this thing. And I was like, this thing is dead. Like, it's not going to be resurrected. I need to just junk it. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to give Brandon the opportunity. I'm going to put this thing on the trailer. I'm going to take it over to his house and be like, look, man, here you go. Do you want this? And he said, yeah. What he did to that thing is nothing short of a miracle. The thing is still working. He gave it to his dad after he fixed it up. And the thing runs better, I think, than when I ever had it. So with this show, I want to encourage you guys that if you're thinking about getting a riding mower, maybe you don't have the money for it and you're thinking, I'd really like to have a riding mower and I'd like to learn more about them. I really want to encourage you guys, you can overhaul one of these things yourself. So many people get rid of these things for the stupidest reasons sometimes. Brandon gets these things for free often. He just got one from his neighbor, a really nice one that he's overhauling and like giving it this like Ford tractor motif thing going on. And it looks actually really good. But his neighbor was just done with it, right? And so Brandon's like, hey, I'll take it and, you know, take my time. I'll overhaul it. So if you're interested in a riding mower, you don't want to pay the big bucks for a brand new one. Oftentimes, you can find these things for cheap or even free if you're willing to put in the time and effort that it takes to do this. And you could come out way ahead money-wise, or maybe you do drop some money on it, but you also learn how to work on them. And then if you've got a larger yard, say you just bought a house with a bigger yard and you're thinking, I'm going to probably be using a riding mower maybe for the rest of my life, you know, so I want to know how to work on them. This might be a good option for you. So what we wanted to do with this show is to kind of walk you through what are the basic components of riding mowers, what are the most common things that are going to break down, and those sorts of things to kind of walk you through the overhaul process should you want to do this. So I'm hoping that you're going to learn some stuff about riding mowers and the common things that mess up with them. First off, I wanted to mention a website called tractordata.com. And when we're talking about lawn tractors, you're going to want to go to tractordata.com/lawn-tractors. And I'll put this link in the show notes. I've used that many times when I'm looking for a new mower because it has all of the technical specs on all these different lawn tractors. So you just go down the list, say you really want a John Deere. So you go down, you find John Deere, and then it's literally got all the models from like, it's something crazy, from like the 60s on to today. And then you'll look up the model, and then so say you're looking on Facebook Marketplace and you come across a model D140 and you're like, oh, okay, I wonder how old this thing is. When was it manufactured? What motor does it have in it? You can find that on tractordata.com. And it's also really helpful when you're starting the process of maybe looking for parts and trying to figure out what are the specs on my new mower that I got. So just wanted to throw that out there. But let's talk about basic components. Like, what are those things that are going to be the most common things to break down on the mower? We'll just kind of go through those basic things. So, you know, we've got, I often think about the deck. Like, when I first got a mower, I remember thinking, there's a lot of moving stuff on the mower deck itself. And I can't make sense of this, right? But when you break it all down, it's actually very simple. But that's one of those things. You've got what's basically like you call a deck rebuild is what you'd have to do to repair this thing. And so many times the bearings on the spindles is what the blades are connected to, right? Now a belt is running all through here. And it is moving the pulley, which is then moving the blades. But that's a common thing to go bad is those spindles. Or, you know, obviously the belt could break. Some people might junk a mower because the belt breaks. I don't know. And they don't, it's so old. And then they're like, I don't want to deal with it. And then they'll just get rid of it kind of thing.
Or it's too expensive to get repaired.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they've got to take it to a repair place. Just getting it there is one thing, right? Yep. So let's talk about the deck and the components there and your experience with that.
Well, the most, like you said, the most common, one of the most common things can be the belt. Clippings or trash get stuck under there. It can rub it, fray it, and then, right. Or age too. That's another thing. A dry rotted belt, for instance, that can just snap off. Like you can be cutting the grass, everything's fine, and then maybe you hit a patch of grass, it's a little thick, and it just snaps.
Right. And then you're not going to know how it goes back on because you didn't see it while it was on.
Exactly.
So you're going to have to look up a diagram as to how that belt goes. Now, since I've done it, obviously you've done it many times. Once you work on these things, you kind of you figure out and you know, you remember how the belt is routed. But if it's your first time doing it, you're going to be super confused and you're going to have to go online and look at a diagram of how the belt is, going around all the pulleys. So the bearings is another thing that are going to go bad is specifically on the spindles. But, you know, when you repair that, you're going to buy a deck rebuild kit. And that comes with the spindles, which you may even have three of, depending on the size of the deck. So, like, my mower only has two because it's a 42-inch wide deck. But if it's any larger than that, sometimes there'll be three separate blades, and then which means you'll have three separate spindles. And you'll buy those spindles. So it's not something like you're replacing the bearings in the spindles. You just buy the whole new spindles. But the deck rebuild kit is going to come with the spindles, at least a new idler pulley. So where the belt goes against what's called an idler pulley. And then usually comes with blades as well, and the belt, of course. So that's the basic kit for that. And I've seen them as low as what? I mean, they're under $100 sometimes.
Yeah, it depends on what mower you're working on. But going back, often too, a lot of times the diagram for the belt will be on the deck.
Yeah, you're right. But now all my mowers that I've owned is the decks are so beat to crap that the diagram is not going to be there. But you're totally right. All right, so let's move on to another component that may have issues, the steering. So what have been some common issues, Brandon, on those mowers that you've overhauled concerning the steering?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things there. Little plastic bushing that's usually towards the top near the steering wheel, and that will usually connect like under the hood area in that whole section. That's pretty easy to change.
And that's holding the steering shaft, if you will, in place.
Yes.
And that actually wore out on mine. And then it causes the steering to just go incredibly loose.
Yeah.
Because if that plastic bearing's not in place to hold the shaft where it should be, then your steering is going to be all kinds of wonky.
Just on the top, though, it gets real loose. It doesn't, like, you'll try to turn the steering wheel and it's like it'll move an inch to the left or forward or back or whatever way it is.
Right. And then moving down the shaft, you've then got that that gear at the bottom of
it. Yeah, the steering sector and pinion gear, those typically go bad on John Deere tractors.
And how difficult would you say that is to repair? Is that something you're taking the entire shaft out to do?
Yeah, but it's not that bad. Okay. Usually just lift the front of the thing up high enough to where you can slide the whole shaft out, and then you replace your worn components and that's it.
Okay, so anything else that would be going wrong with the steering?
Okay, there are some other things like the front spindles. Those connect to the front wheels to
the front axle, the front axle assembly on the front there, right?
And that pivots left and right to give you the ability to traverse over uneven terrain, blah, blah, blah. There's a bushing in there as well, but those... Rarely do those go bad because it's a metal bushing. But they're on John Deere's, there's a grease fitting in there that
a lot of people forget to service.
Yeah. And that causes that bushing to go bad.
Right.
So another thing is some cheap, easy upgrades. You can do thrust washers on the bottoms of...
Yes, I had a note to talk about this because that's an upgrade. Even if you've got a mower that's like running great, but you want to do like a little small upgrade, what Brandon's talking about is... So what did you call it? It's like a thrust washer bearing?
It's a thrust bearing.
It
comes with two... It's a little flat roller bearing, and it comes with two hardened washers that sandwich between...
Right.
The bearing is sandwiched between those.
Right. And this is a very common upgrade. You'll have to Google it to kind of get a visual of what we're talking about. But it makes your steering incredibly more smooth and easy. It almost feels like when you first do this, especially if those old bushings are worn out on your riding mower and you replace it with these thrust bearings, It almost feels like you got power steering or something.
That's actually what it's known as, is a poor man's power steering upgrade.
Yeah. So even if your riding mower is running great, definitely check into this thrust bearing upgrade that Brandon's talking about. But if you're doing an overhaul, you definitely want to replace that for sure.
Yeah.
And if your steering is still just fine now and you're not ready to make that upgrade, definitely hit that grease point, because that's one of those things that needs grease that a lot of people forget about. I think the grease point is kind of like on the inside of that spindle. So it's kind of easy to miss sometimes, like when you're kind of looking around for those grease points. So get you a grease gun and put some high quality grease on those spots. Okay, so let's talk maybe next about the transaxle. So that's what's actually driving the riding mower. Now, look, you could have an auto, which I have, or which would be called a hydrostatic drive, or you could have a mower with a clutch, but you're still going to have something that is transferring that power to those rear wheels. Now, I remember talking with Brandon before about what's going to cause you not to fix a mower. And pretty much the biggest thing would be a major problem with the transaxle. And why is that, Brandon?
Because they're expensive and there's a lot of gears and springs and all kinds of stuff in them. And usually they're just not worth fixing.
Right, because for the cost of, especially like a nice auto, like hydrostatic transaxle, you're going to, I mean, for the cost of that, you could get a very like new to you riding mower for the cost of replacing one of these things. Now, one thing I was going to say about that is this is going to have a separate belt. So this is going to have a belt that's essentially coming down from the main pulley down from your motor, and it's going to be going all the way back to that transaxle. So it's not running off the same belt as your deck. And it's kind of like up in there, so you don't really see it as well.
Tucked up in.
Right. So you're not really going to see it until you drop that deck.
Yep.
Yeah. But that's another one of those things. So like if your riding mower is not going anywhere, it might be that belt is either seized up or it broke and fell off. And that's probably going to be your issue.
Or possibly you could have a stick shoved up in there, too. I've seen that before.
Yeah. Yeah. You could have a stick all the way up in there and you wouldn't even know it because it's just out of sight. And you don't see it. Another really obvious thing that we should at least mention is the battery, because that's one of the biggest pet peeves, like when you're dealing with a riding mower, is that stupid battery. Now, I've lucked out. I don't know what it is about this. My last mower that I just bought that I still have, the guy that I bought it from had a Duracell battery in it. And I don't even remember seeing a Duracell lawn tractor battery, but obviously they make them. And I have not had hardly any problems out of that thing. But that's usually not the case with most all lawn tractor batteries. Without fail, a lot of times, like every season, you go to crank that thing up and it's dead.
Yep.
So what are some things that folks could do? Like, what would you suggest? Should they take it out of the mower?
Well, the first thing is the cheapest and easiest thing you could do is simply just disconnect the positive cable from the battery.
Right. So that way you're not going to have any drain.
Yep. And just tuck the wire out of the way. The second thing you could do is get a battery tender, like a little small.
Like a trickle charge?
Kind of thing? One of those little inexpensive battery tenders that you just, when you pull the thing in wherever for the winter, pop it in if you have access to an electrical outlet.
Now, I have seen the solar versions of these like trickle chargers. Do you have any experience with that?
No, but that would work too. You just need something to just keep the battery topped up.
Yeah, just enough for it to be good for that next crank, because that's super frustrating when you got to push that thing somewhere to jump it or whatever. Like I've had to push them to my car to jump. Now I've got a nice little portable battery pack thing that I can jump it with. But before, I was kind of having to push the mower over to my car to then, because it's 12 volts, so you can jump it off of a car battery. It's just a huge pain. So, okay, so battery for sure.
And sometimes if your battery is good and the thing won't start, sometimes it can be the solenoid, or often too, it's also the starter. It just depends.
Okay. I have not had to mess with any starter issues. And so you had mentioned the solenoid. Is that the starter solenoid, is that usually attached to the starter on riding mowers, or is it something, a separate component, or does it just depend upon the model?
Yes and no. It's basically in line. It's what triggers the, when you turn the key, it's what tells the starter to spin, because it's letting the current from the battery through
to the starter. Right. Okay. That makes sense. So that's something to check. If you're having starting issues, might be the starter solenoid, not really the starter. So if you're getting like nothing, I guess you could say, or maybe like a clicking, maybe that might be an issue with the solenoid.
Yeah, usually solenoids will click. But there's also most of them are 10, some of them are 15 amp fuses.
Yeah.
And just they hide them in different places, but they're there. So if you dig around at the wires and look, you'll usually see it.
Okay.
And that's a good place to check too.
Okay.
But that's usually if you get nothing, like when you turn the key on and like nothing is working, then you start looking for that fuse. And they're usually in a fuse block, easily accessible.
Okay. So let's talk about tires, because tires can get expensive for a riding mower. I know in the past you've done like a treatment to tires to kind of get them along. Talk about that. Like, what have you done? So like, it's a worn out tire, and instead of buying a brand new one, I don't even remember what you've done, but you told me you did something to them to get them by.
Yeah, there's several different things. Obviously, if you got a screw or a nail or something, you can use a regular plug like you would for a car tire.
Right.
Obviously, it's best to patch, but that's too much trouble to try to dismount the tire and all that, which I've recently went through that with the mower that I use, because the house we're in now, the yard basically just sucks, and it's all uphill, it seems like, and I was not able to get any traction. So I spent $140 on some ATV tires.
Wow.
And put those things on there, and now it just climbs.
Yeah.
But that was no fun. I changed those tires with tire irons, and it was not fun. It took me a while to do it.
Yeah. If you've never changed a tire on a riding mower or something similar, it can be a big hassle. Like, then there's various methods that we just can't get into on this podcast today. But some of them include using lighter fluid, which is really fun. And it's fun to seat the new tire that way. But that's a whole nother conversation. But what was that? You had told me you pumped one tire full of some like foam stuff, or you did something to one tire. I don't remember what that was.
Oh yeah, that was my super old Scott's with that huge deck on it. I used Great Stuff.
No, you didn't.
Yep. You just removed the valve stem, the core out of the valve stem, poke a hole in the tire so you can get the little tube in, and fill it full of Great Stuff.
And that's crazy. And that actually worked?
Oh yeah. You have to elevate the rear end of the tractor up.
And then let it sit.
Yeah. When let the foam expand and cure without the weight on it.
What did that do after? Like, did you have any give to it, or was it like kind of rock hard?
It makes it a solid tire, but it'll never go flat again.
Okay. I mean, when that tread is done, that tire is definitely done.
Yeah, it's done. And then the guy that is probably going to cuss you that has to, you know, try to put a new tire on there, because that stuff,
because all the foam is going to be attached all to the inside of that wheel.
The rim, yep.
The rim. Oh, gosh. I can't believe you did that. Okay. So, and for listeners who don't know, Great Stuff, it's like a spray foam. that expands and hardens. And so Brandon's saying he just filled the tire with it and it worked.
Yeah, that was extreme measures. Like
right.
If you have huge, like just nasty dry rotted tires or something
that's
like that.
That's just not going to hold air no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that's like, if it's been sitting, like if you inherit a riding mower and that thing's been sitting forever, the tires are going to be dry rotted and you probably will not be able to keep air in them. So filling the tires with great stuff, it sounds like a horrible option, but it works. And especially if you don't want to fork over the money for brand new tires. Yeah, that is a big consideration. Like if you're looking at an old mower, if you're having to replace tire, all four tires, well, I mean, what are we talking? Like, I mean, you could probably spend at least $200-$300 probably on brand new nice tires for it.
Yeah, they're most front tires. I did those as well. But they were, I think I paid like $50 for those. But the rear ones were more expensive because they were 6-ply ATV tires. And that's one reason they were so difficult to get on.
Okay, so there's tires. Let's talk about engine work, because I think a lot of people are thinking, I can't be getting into the engine. If this like engine's got problems, then it's a no for me. But I want to challenge that and say there's not a whole lot to small motors. And a lot of these motors that they put on these things are actually really high quality mowers. What are some of those motors that people could be looking out for that are like the better quality ones?
Kohlers are pretty good. All of them are pretty good. There's some particular engine models that have like plastic cam gears and all that fun stuff. Those you kind of want to stay away from, but unfortunately everything is kind of heading that way because they don't make stuff like they used to.
Right. Now, and that's important. Like the website that I mentioned earlier, tractordata.com, looking up that specific engine before you make a decision on like some old mower that you're thinking about, you know, restoring. That's a good idea, you know, to look up the track record of these particular engines. So I think towards the beginning of the episode, I talked about how my mower engine had a bent push rod. Now, I didn't actually know that that's what it was until I took it apart, I think. Brandon probably would have known, but I didn't consult him before.
I think you called me.
Yeah,
that was
maybe
a long time ago. I think you called me and you were like, this is doing this. And I'm like, okay, try to start it and let me hear it. And I was like, doesn't sound like one of your valves is opening.
Okay. Yeah. And so basically the push rod is opening and closing the valves.
The valve.
Right. Okay. So a bent push rod could be one of your issues. And me having next to no experience dealing with, you know, taking a small engine apart, I was able to do it. You know, I found the part number, ordered the proper one. I fixed it and it did fine up until it did it again. And then I gave it to Brandon. But if there are engine problems, I want to say that it's not a death sentence.
Like you were saying, all that stuff is relatively easy. Like to change that push rod, it's 4 bolts and you take off the valve cover and it's all right there. The important thing is you do have to adjust those most of the time. It just, again, depends on the engine because some have solid lifters and some have hydraulic lifters, and that depends on whether you can adjust the valve lash or not.
Right.
But all that stuff is real technical stuff, but it's not as difficult as it sounds.
Right.
It's super easy.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot. I guess the point I'm trying to make is there's not a whole lot to these small motors when you really break it down. And if you can figure out what the issue is, chances are very good that you can look up a video on YouTube and figure this thing out. So don't take an engine problem or it's got a loud knocking noise or something, because that's what mine was doing. It sounded awful. Like it sounded like the engine was about to explode. But what it was just a bent push rod. And the motor was still fine. It wasn't like it was like something, you know, horribly wrong with it. It was just a bent push rod and I was able to fix it. So those things, you know, you can handle. You can, man. You can do that.
That's right.
Okay, let's move on to just like kind of purely cosmetic stuff. Now, that was kind of like the biggest shocker for me when I saw the mower that you redid. of mine because you did a complete paint job on this thing and it looked amazing. It looked like brand new. So you can get like the John Deere, like official colors. You can get the spray paint, right?
Yep. They sell it in aerosol.
Yeah. Now you're going to have to do lots of prep work. You know, if you've ever heard a painter talk about a quality paint job, it all has to do with the prep work.
Yep.
And so, yes, are you going to put in a lot of hours sanding down and smoothing out places and everything to get a really good adhesion for the new paint? Yeah, yeah, you are. You're going to want to do your research and make sure that you've prepped this thing and primed the bare metal areas where the paint is just completely flaked off, because that's what happened to mine. Like the deck looked horrible because it was all powder coated, like on the deck especially, because I just didn't take good care of it. It was all chipping off.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to get rid of all that loose chipped paint. And then you're probably going to prime that bare metal. That's a whole nother topic of like painting things. But you can make these mowers look brand new with the same kind of color paint and everything that it would have had brand new. So those colors exist. You can just go pick them up at the store, that sort of thing. You know, one common issue with an older mower is the seat. And even the mower I've got now, I have to like use this pad thing that I put on the seat before I use it, because the seat is just all cracked and everything. Now, they do sell seat covers that you can put over the seats if the vinyl is all cracked. So you can do that. Replacing the seat can get expensive. And so that is a consideration. Now, I've seen Brandon do some duct tape jobs to lawnmower seats that actually look pretty decent. And you can get all kinds of different colors of duct tape. And I think the one that I saw was a John Deere, and you actually got yellow duct tape. Is that correct?
Yeah. And that looked great for about 4 months.
Okay. And then okay. I mean,
you got to think it's sitting out in the weather.
Sure.
There another technique when it comes to that, like if you have cracks that are just starting, knock off the sharp edges of the cracked parts of the vinyl with a razor, and you can take Plasti-Dip and use that. Basically what you do is it's not like the spray, the aerosolized version.
Right. For listeners who don't know, Brandon said Plasti-Dip. It's I guess that's a name brand of it. But it's kind of one of those things you just call all of it Plasti-Dip.
Yeah. Rubber.
Yeah.
Rubber,
it's just
seal.
Like it's basically like a liquid rubbery plastic stuff that you can use to coat things or to do, you know, kind of basic vinyl repairs as well.
Yeah. And they sell it in tubes to like replace like the grips on hand tools. Like if you got pliers, the handle comes off or whatever, you could literally dip it in that. And that you build layers of it up over the crack. And then
you've had good success with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How long do you feel like that lasts, though? Because I feel like that would probably start to tear, too.
No, it usually, I mean, it'll eat in. You do have to do a little bit of prep, you know, like you just trim off all the sharp points, maybe scuff the vinyl with some sandpaper, carve out a little tiny bit of the foam, and then you just start building the layer.
Little layers.
Yep, layer by layer.
Okay.
And it's not, it might need two or three applications and then you're done.
Okay. Well, that's a good idea because, like I said, these seats can get expensive. I think when I had priced like an actual John Deere replacement for mine, it was like something like $80, or maybe it was more than that.
More than that.
Yeah. Maybe it was like more like $120.
That's like, probably more.
Yeah.
Like
I was
it.
Like, not worth it. Not worth doing.
No.
I think that's about going to wrap it up, guys. You know, there's tons of other stuff that we could get into with mowers, but I hope that this has kind of given you a basic overview of an overhaul of a riding mower. So if you're wanting to learn more about riding mowers, you're wanting to get into it, maybe your yard could use a riding mower, but you're just kind of getting by with a push mower and you'd really like to have a riding mower, go on Facebook Marketplace, see if you can find one that's super cheap or maybe even free. Somebody's giving it away because they're done with it. And I want to encourage you that you can do this. I've seen Brandon turn these things around, And Brandon is super frugal. Like, he's probably one of the most frugal people I know. And what he's done to these mowers with such little money is absolutely incredible. So, hey, take it up as a hobby and tackle one of these projects. So I hope that we've given you some encouragement to maybe do that. If you have any questions about riding mowers, we might be able to answer that. So join our Facebook group page and shoot us a question there, and maybe Brandon will be able to answer your question there. Thanks so much, guys, for joining us once again on the UK Man podcast, and we will catch you guys next time.